Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Wow, do you hear the sound of rock cracking? And I'm going to tell you, it was cracking in Charlotte, North Carolina last week. And we're going to talk about that on today's show. But you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. We're glad you're listening to us. And we want you to know that we've been staying on top of the Democratic National Convention. We've been staying on top of the Republican National Convention a week before, and we're here to give you some comment on both of the conventions. We got some clips for some of the speakers, but let me just say this right now, that you need to hear what we're going to talk about, and everybody in America needs to hear it. So tell your friends and neighbors, go to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Got a great show that's going to help line up what's going on in the next couple months before the election on November 6th. Also, on today's show, we have what I told you last week. We got a great guest, Fred Solomon's coming on and telling us what you can do and some of the things he's doing already to help get this nation turned around. So let's get going right here on the top with Doc Holliday's election news update. And it's all about the Democratic National Convention last week. Three speakers that stand out, and they were meant to be. They're all the keynote speakers of the evening. That's first was First Lady Michelle Obama, outstanding speech. Second, former President Bill Clinton. He hit a home run. That man knows politics. You just have to admit it. If you agree with him or not, he knows politics and how to give a long speech that people want to listen to. And then, of course, the Mr. Nominee himself, President Barack Obama, accepted the nomination for his re-election, and he had a speech. So we're going to be talking about speeches in this edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. But not only about the speeches, we're going to tell you some things that you need to know. And at the end, we're going to get to this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And you want to hear this. We've never given it to this group. So you listen up and see who gets this week's Tombstone of the Week Award at the end of the show. First off, let's talk about the Democratic National Convention last week. And the speeches, like I said, from the three keynote speakers, outstanding speeches. The trouble is, what's the truth? And what can you believe? Of course, each one of them want to help get Barack Obama reelected. Let's take the First Lady. Nobody's going to vote for president about who the First Lady is. Now, we can like the First Lady, and we can be proud of her achievements, and there's a lot of things that Michelle Obama does right. But I'm telling you, people aren't going to vote for Barack Obama because of Michelle Obama. They may like her, but you vote for the president because you want someone to be president of the United States, not because of who the First Lady might be. Now, saying all that, I don't want to do anything to diminish. And I want to take the high road here. I always have. I have in my book. When it comes to Michelle Obama, I'm not going to criticize her. You know, she's out promoting a policy. That's up for grabs. But she has been a wonderful First Lady. And other than traveling all over the world, I don't know how much it costs the taxpayers. I think that should be public knowledge, how much it costs the taxpayers. But let's say this for Michelle Obama. She's been a beautiful First Lady that smiles and works hard. And so I'll give her every bit of that credit. But that's not the reason to elect somebody to run the free world. Now, in her speech, I think she helped talk about Michelle. I mean, she talked about her life and she talked about Obama's life. And one of the things that she mentioned, how hard her father went to work when he had MS and would go on crutches and go to work and work hard all day to help get them through college, her and her brother. And that is wonderful. I want to say, who was president then? And how did your father have a job and he worked every day? That is wonderful. That is the America. And the Democrats tried so hard to say, we are hardworking Americans, and we want every American to have a job and succeed. But that's the trouble I wanted to tell the First Lady. Look around. There's people who can't go to work because they can't find a job. And why does your husband, why doesn't he have a role in making an atmosphere where jobs are created? Well, he has. He's made an atmosphere where jobs aren't created, but they're killed. We talk everything from the Keystone Pipeline all the way to the Dodd-Frank bill. That it was the Dodd-Frank banking reform bill was passed 2 years ago. They still have not got the regulations, the humongous amount of regulations out to the banks. Nobody knows what they're supposed to be under. All the regulations, they've kept waiting. I think they're waiting after election because they're going to be so onerous, so despicable, that businesses and banks are going to find it hard to believe the draconian kind of regulations that are coming. And they're pushing it to after the election, I really believe it. And that's a wake-up call. And what else I wanted to ask the First Lady, what about the health care bill? Yes, you tout it and how wonderful you think it is, but what about the businesses? If you can't get a job, then there's something wrong. We're borrowing trillions of dollars now to pay for, because people don't have jobs. Something's wrong. Something smells like a rat, and it's the decisions that Barack Obama's made that kills jobs. Jobs are dying off, and we should be in a full steam recovery now. We always are right after a deep recession. Usually the deeper the recession, the more quicker and more powerful the recovery. It's not happening, folks, because this president has taken laws like the Dodd-Frank, the health care bill, and go back to the stimulus package. Nothing was designed to help businesses grow profits. You're not going to get jobs until you see businesses growing profits, and profits that will prosper and help prosperity around the nation. So Michelle Obama, beautiful speech, beautiful lady, great First Lady, but that is not a reason to vote for her husband, who has failed in creating an atmosphere that helps produce jobs. Now, Bill Clinton, is there any doubt if Bill Clinton was able to run again that he would be elected president? He knows how to get to the voter, and he knows how to make his side look so brilliant. His record of being able to lie and believe in his own lies is spectacular. And once again, he had one of the best speeches of his career, his life, when he endorsed Barack Obama. The trouble is, if you know old Bill Clinton, you know that you can't believe everything comes through his mouth. Listen, Bill Clinton appeals to those who are on his level. The trouble with that is that he's not running. It's Barack Obama. And when he stands up there and says he's for Barack Obama 4 more years, then I just find it hard to stomach, because he knows in his heart there's a huge difference between his first four years and Obama's first 4 years. Bill Clinton got a licking in 1994, and he changed his direction. He brought his administration more to the center, and he was able to get reelected. This president has not gone anywhere near the center, has not tried to reach out to Republicans, and all the time the Democrats are saying, well, President Obama's reached out, but he doesn't get anybody to reach out. And they bring up this thing about Mitch McConnell saying, well, our first goal is to make sure he's a one-term president. Well, Senator from Kentucky, the minority leader of the Senate, Senator McConnell, did say that, but not because he didn't like the first African-American president. He said that because Obama had just run roughshod over with the stimulus package, talking about health care, and he would not let Republicans get any input. And that's why McConnell said he has to go, because he would not work with the Republicans. They wanted to work with him. Who locked out all the House Republicans from the meeting rooms on health care? It was Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi changed the keys to the door locks to keep the Republicans out and warn Democrats, if you bring any Republican ideas in here, you are out. And I'm telling you, that's the kind of party politics that this president has played with those around him. He could have very well reached out, refused to do so. And Bill Clinton knows there's no comparison between his first 4 years and this president's first 4 years. This president has gone far, far to the left. And maybe Clinton really wanted to, but he knew he couldn't. This president does not need four more years of not listening to the American people. Why? Why would you elect somebody that's not going to listen to the American people? Well, we're going to talk about a little bit more in just a few minutes, and we're going to play some clips here and hear what the president had to say. But I do want to remind you that you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. And our new listeners, welcome. Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here. Tell your friends and neighbors. Go ahead and mark us as a favorite. Get the RSS feed. And I'm telling you, the reason you want to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, you're going to hear things here that you won't hear anywhere else. And we are going to prepare you to know what to do to help get this nation turned around in the next 2 months. And I'll be sharing each week things that you can do, things that we need to do, and working together to make sure we get this nation turned around. We cannot handle four more years of this awful economy, awfully managed White House that just lets things go through, just like the new book from Bob Woodward talking about how somebody wondered who is in control, who is in charge of the White House. Nobody understands, and important things and pieces of legislation don't get done because there's not one person in charge of the White House making things work smoothly. And that's a disgrace for America, and it's a disgrace for this president. Now let's listen to a little clip from former President Bill Clinton.
He faces, and the challenge all of you who support him face. I get it. I know it. I've been there. A lot of Americans are still angry and frustrated about this economy. If you look at the numbers, you know employment is growing. Banks are beginning to lend again. In a lot of places, housing prices are even beginning to pick up. But too many people do not feel it yet. I had the same thing happen in 1994 and early 95. We could see that the policies were working, that the economy was growing, but most people didn't feel it yet. Thankfully, by 1996, the economy was roaring, everybody felt it, and we were halfway through the longest peacetime expansion in the history of the United States. The difference this time is purely in the circumstances. President Obama started with a much weaker economy than I did.
And that's former President Clinton trying to explain why we're in such an awful economy now. He said it hasn't had time to work, and he's trying to save the pants of our current president, President Obama. And I have to say this about President Clinton. After President Obama spoke, in a minute we'll talk about his speech, but I have to say that I think President Obama looks smaller by the long shadow of Bill Clinton. There's not anyone that can tell me that President Bill Clinton had the best response and speech at the Democratic National Convention. Barack Obama's speech was sort of a downer. It was President Clinton outshined President Obama. There's no doubt about it. And anybody that tells you any different, they must be on planet Pluto. And talking about that, I just have to say, I think just about everybody in that convention hall was on planet Pluto. Could you believe it's just a whole radical set of people from around the country. All the loose marbles just rolled to Charlotte, it looks like. But I digress. Let me get on and talk about President Clinton. And what he was trying to do is tell the American people, hang in there, President Obama. He didn't get it done as quick as I did. I got it back in time and got reelected because the economy was going. But you know what? You got to have faith when President Obama says, we're on our way, we've started the journey, and it's going. The magic's going to happen. Just wait. It's to me like somebody picking up a bottle and saying, the genie is about to come out of the bottle. The dreams. It's hope and dreams, yes, but we've had 4 years. Where's the hope and where's the dreams? They're fading away like the iconic posters of Barack Obama. Those college students that had Barack Obama plastered on their dorm walls are now at home seeing those faded posters like Paul Ryan talked about. Wanted a job. Don't vote for this character again. You can go read the fairy tales and go back and get and listen to the speeches of 2008 and get fired up. Go ahead and have your fairy tales. But when it comes November 6th, go and vote for Mitt Romney and let's get this nation turned around. So that's the clip from Bill Clinton just got me stirred up because, number one, I've told you before at the beginning of the show, Bill Clinton hands down has the best presence at a convention like this, and he knows his stuff. He's a wonk. He knows the statistics. Somebody doesn't have to write a speech for him because he knows that he's very intelligent. I don't agree with everything President Clinton did or says, but he's the best Democrat out there, probably the best politician in America now, because I can't see a Republican that's got one up to his par at this point. Maybe Mitt Romney can shine up a little more. We've got to see some fire come from the belly out of Mitt Romney. And his supporters have got to get behind him and Paul Ryan. But now, going back to the convention, here we go. We've had time. I don't have time to play this clip, but there's one thing that Elizabeth Warren, if those our listeners, you remember a couple months back, she got a Tombstone of the Week award for for her being a Native American and has no way to prove it except for a cookbook that she a Cherokee cookbook that she put a recipe in that she plagiarized the recipe, okay? And that's the lady who wants to be the senator from the state of Massachusetts running against Scott Brown. But she did speak. She warmed up the crowd for Bill Clinton. They put her in that space trying to help pull her over and get her elected in Massachusetts. So she let her speak before Bill Clinton. And I have to say one thing. What she said in her speech, this Senate candidate, Elizabeth Warren, said that it's rigged. She said it's rigged against the middle class. This whole concept in America is rigged. If she really believes that, then why in the name of good government did Barack Obama and the Democratic House and Democratic Senate not stop the rigging when they had everything for the first 2 years? This woman is full of it. I'm telling you, Elizabeth Warren needs to be in our Senate like we need another $1 trillion added to our national debt. So please, our listeners in Massachusetts, work hard to get Scott Brown reelected. We do not need Elizabeth Warren making policy in the United States Senate. Let's move on to before the president spoke at the convention, Joe Biden spoke. Now, there's one thing I will give Joe Biden, and he was purely Joe, but the Democrats did something. They beat the Republicans on national defense, what they would do, but what they care for our soldiers. And that's not a Republican or Democratic thing. It is an American thing to thank the soldiers who have put their life on the line, the families who lost soldiers, and those who are wounded. And I think the Democrats did a good job of emphasizing that, and the Republicans could have done a better job at that. They should have, and that's something that Mitt Romney's team needs to shore up here between now and the election. So I will give the benefits for Joe Biden and the Democrats in emphasizing our warriors, our heroes, and those who have fallen. So thank you, and I'll give blessings where they're due. Thank you for helping America understand what we owe to those who put their life on the line for us. So thank you for all our veterans in our audience now. Thank you for serving our country. And I do want to say thank you for Joe Biden and the president and others and the first lady and what they've done for our military families. Now, but let's move on and get to the speech of Barack Obama. It's supposed to be the leading up to the biggest night of the convention is a renomination of President Barack Obama for another 4 years. And yes, it was an electric audience for people. You could see that those the ones that are still mesmerized, the ones that were in Denver. Everybody at Denver seemed like they were under the hypnotic spell. It was close to that in Charlotte, because again, all the loose marbles from around the country rolled right down into Charlotte. But you saw the tears, saw people flowing. I know there's believers in Barack Obama. They were there. But remember, 74,000 people were supposed to fill the stadium. It didn't happen, folks. And they said, oh, we got thunderstorms coming. Better move it inside. They were scared because they couldn't fill the stadium to get Barack Obama renominated. So they moved it back indoors. And instead of 74,000, they had probably 24,000. I don't know how many it seated. But they disappointed a lot of folks. But they weren't going to fill the stadium up, or they would not have done that. They would not have done that. And because of that, that was funny when after President Obama gave his speech, and usually you look for the balloon drops, but because they were going to have it outdoors, they didn't have balloons. And so instead it had tissue paper falling down, or some confetti, but it was tissue paper. So I do want to, I thought that was a funny climatic ending, and President Obama did not give his best speech of his career. He stood in the shadows of Bill Clinton, and he dropped tissue paper instead of balloons. But that was the way it ended, and why do I feel like Bill Clinton overshadowed him? Because I remember, and you can go back in 1996, his renomination for the Democratic Party. Bill Clinton said, let's build a bridge to the 21st century. He gave a visual, something to build to, something for the nation to cling to and see where his vision was. And Barack Obama gave us more of the same. He said, let's continue the journey. And it's going to be a hard road. He gave us more of the same. Where was the big vision? He told us about the nice little things. And every president, everybody, every candidate can do that. But he didn't give us the bold, big ideas that America needs to reach for in the next 4 years. And it makes me think we're going to get 4 more years of the same. You know, where's the magic? And they are people. You could tell the people who had the tears coming down their eyes. And it's like if they could just get a hold of a genie bottle. And they could just rub that bottle and wait till that genie comes out. And the magic of millions of jobs will just happen because Barack Obama is our president. It doesn't happen that way, folks. And America knows it. They're going to wake up. And wake up from this hypnotic trance that President Obama has put so many people in. They are waking up. I tell you who's waking up more than anybody. It's the youth that voted for him. They're sitting there, like Paul Ryan said, with their fading posters, those iconic posters of Barack Obama. And they're sitting there in their parents' house, probably in their childhood bedrooms, wanting a job. And they're moved back in with their parents. And I tell you, it's sad. And they voted for Barack Obama. They shouldn't vote for him this time. And they should get out and vote and make sure their vote is for Mitt Romney. We got to get to Fred Solomon. So let me finish up all the convention talks by saying this in the Democratic National Convention. They did what they were supposed to do. They got Barack Obama renominated. And Bill Clinton got solidly behind Barack Obama. Didn't say anything that would make me think he wasn't solidly behind him. But just the visual. Bill Clinton cast a long shadow, and it made President Barack Obama look smaller. That's the way I saw it. So that's the way I end up my convention coverage. And now let's get to Fred Solomon. I told you about him last week, and we're going to talk a little bit with Fred, and he'll tell you some things that you can do right now, just like he's doing, to help get this nation turned around.
You know, I don't need anybody else convincing me about why we need to make a change. You know, if you don't understand that by now, there's no hope for you.
I agree with that.
The question is how. That's where we need to be concentrating. How.
Okay.
Simple. How is
how?
Twofold. Number one, we suppress the amount of voter fraud that we know is going to happen on the left. It always does. We suppress it. Can't stop it, especially when you have an administration this corrupt that sees that really as probably their only hope, or their certainly their biggest hope to win is through fraud. We suppress that. We do that through volunteering for organizations like True the Vote. They're on the web at www.truethevote.org. You can volunteer. It's easy. 1, 2, 3 on how to become involved and become a poll watcher, a poll observer in your state. Now we're talking swing states. Now we're talking swing states. You volunteer to be involved with the what we call voter integrity side, to suppress the fraud. The other side of that coin is we maximize our turnout. This is going to be what all the experts call a base election this time, who turns out their people. And it's about us turning out our people. Nobody on the side of truth time that wants to make a difference can stay home for any reason. You know, there's absolutely no reason to not go vote. And, you know, I ran into some idiots down there in Tampa that were running around talking about how they certainly couldn't vote for Barack Obama, but they just couldn't vote for Romney because he was a Mormon.
So why do you call them idiots?
Well, because number one, first and foremost, you know, I've never met a Mormon that I didn't like.
Uh-huh.
That's the first and foremost thing. And without getting off into all the ideology about who's said this and what said that and how this and all that, you know, look at the fruit that falls around a tree. Look at the fruit that's fallen around Mitt Romney over his life. I mean, you study the man's life of the things that he's done in his lifetime and really study it. You know, just sit your Bible down for a minute and look at what the man has done over his life and how he's lived his life, and look at his family, look at his wife, look at his children, look at the fruits of his labors and the things. And you can tell me that you're gonna vote for Obama over a man like that? I mean, this 2012 is not an election, so to me, as much as it is a change in direction. We've got to avoid hitting the big iceberg like the Titanic.
Right.
The Titanic changed course 2 degrees soon enough, it would have missed the big iceberg. That's all we're trying to do in 2012. He wasn't my first choice, but listen, with the choices we have now, it's a no-brainer. And that's why I said these people running around, and there weren't but two that I saw down there are idiots, in my opinion, idiots.
Well, you pointed that out very well. Now, I know you got Jewish roots, and but the Jewish vote very heavily went for Barack Obama 4 years ago. Do you see what do you see in a Jewish vote this time?
I see a lot of people, a lot of Jews, and you know, and I speak as a Jew that are regrettably in that camp of people that are willing to put their ideology, their liberal ideology, ahead of the truth. And in some cases, regrettably, they're willing to put their ideology, their liberal ideology, ahead of being Jewish, if you can believe that. I mean, how in the world can a Jew vote for this administration, given its posture and the treatment and its view of Israel? I mean, I would ask these people to read a little book that my friend Andy Andrews put out. It's a 15-minute read. The title of it is How Do You Kill 11 Million People? Why the Truth Matters More Than You Think. And you know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, my ancestors, my great-grandparents, loaded their wives and children onto trains going to death camps. Well, I mean, who in their right mind out there would load their wife and child onto a train knowing it was going to a death camp? No one. So how do you kill 11 million people? You lie to them. It's easy. You lie to them, which is what happened then. It's what's happening now. It's what's been happening here a long time. Now, I'm not saying they're getting ready to load people on trains here, but
the big
lie will kill you sooner or later. If you make it big, you keep it simple, you keep telling it over and over and over, people begin to believe it, and that's what has happened to us, and we have got to wake up.
Well, getting back to the truth, I know we got to finish up the interview here, and you said we got to go from why to how. We got to concentrate on the how. How do we win this election? And you told us those 2 points there. So what do you do to encourage people to get out, and where do they find something to do?
You engage people in the swing states. I can tell you there are 6 states right now, because of time, that need great concentration: Florida, Ohio, Missouri, Virginia, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Now, there are others, of course, you know, that are in play, like North Carolina and Iowa and, you know, Michigan. But those 6, because of time and because of resources, if you know people in any of those states, and if you know anyone that has an RV, for instance, that is willing to donate the RV and your time to travel in any of those 6 states, I want you to contact me at F as in Foxtrot, D as in Delta, Solomon, and that is S-O-L-O-M-O-N, just like in the Bible. Just think of King Solomon. F-D Solomon at gmail.com, and I'll show you how you can get involved in one of these 6 swing states, even if you don't live in one of those. You know, we'll provide the decals, we'll reimburse you for your fuel, and we'll turn you into a mobile command center working in these 6 swing states, because it's going to be about turnout, people. That's what happened in Wisconsin. I know firsthand. I was there.
You talking
didn't
about,
change any hearts and minds in Wisconsin.
You talking about the recall election?
The recall election of Scott Walker. When I got up there, I spent a week up there in Milwaukee. There weren't any hearts and minds to be changed up there. Everybody had made up their mind probably a year ago. It was all about who got their folks to the polls. And so we won in Wisconsin by out-community organizing the community organizers. We beat them at their own game. We have to do the exact same thing in these swing states. We do that, we'll be successful. Now, our work won't be over by a long shot, even if we win the White House and win the Senate. You know, all we're going to do is stop the bleeding. We're going to miss the big iceberg. Then we got to go back. And if you really want to save your country, you really want to, I hear people all the time with all this dribble about how we're going to save our country. Well, then after November, if we're successful and we survive the iceberg, go run for your school board. If you want to really save your country, go run for your school board and your city council and that sort of thing, and be prepared for a 25-year fight, because it's going to take 25 years to get it back to the constitutional republic that it's supposed to be.
And that was Fred Solomon, and if you remember, he said go to F as in Fox, D as in Day, Solomon, like King Solomon, fdsolomon at gmail.com. If you got an RV, contact him, and he'll help put you to work. And I'm telling you, he and people like him are all across America. I've met with a group down in Vicksburg, Mississippi, just last week, and people are getting fired up to go out and make sure the base comes out. Like Fred said, this is going to be a base election. It's getting the people to the polls and getting them to vote. Now, and when he talks about voter fraud, suppressing the voter fraud, we know it's out there. We know that this administration is fighting like everything to keep it from being uncovered. But like he said, volunteer to poll watches. You know, we need, especially in the swing states, you can volunteer to be a poll watcher and make sure fraud does not happen. Now, let's get to this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. Got to move right into that. And the Democratic National Convention, guess what? They had words in the in every platform about people being able to work to their God-given talents. But this year, for whatever reason, some people, it may have been the White House, they redesigned that wording to take the word God out. And guess what? It made the papers, and all of a sudden, some of the people of the Democratic political machine got freaked out, and so they went before the Democratic National Committee to change the wording of the platform to put God back into the platform, the word God. And guess what? They were getting booed. They wanted to put God back in the platform, and the delegates on the floor were booing, and they asked for a voice vote. It got booed down, but they went ahead because they knew what they wanted to do. They went ahead and said, it passes. But it didn't really pass. But I'm telling you, these loose morals that rolled all over the country and rolled down into Charlotte, these are the people who are booing God. They were booing God, and the Democratic National Convention delegates, they get this week's Tombstone of the Week Award for having the audacity to boo putting God into platform. And I'm telling you, that's the kind of people that are in charge of this country now. And that's one of the reasons why we need some dedicated Americans, just like Fred Solomon, telling you he's out there knocking on doors, getting the word out, helping to motivate people and organize people to make sure that every conservative, everybody that believes in America knows we're going in the wrong direction. We'll get out and vote to change directions on November 6th. So that's this week's show. And next week, we'll do a little tweaking and talking a little bit about a convention. Got some great political stories I can tell you that's come from different places. So listen to next week's show. Can't wait to get to it. We are in the middle, right smack in the middle of what it takes to change this country. We are We the People. So you listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'll tell you what you need to be doing each week. And remember, the most important four words of this election year, GetObamaOutNow.com. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.